Trump's $5.7 billion wall might not be going up yet, but the wall between Trump and the Democrats at the moment seems unbreachable. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week you can find us on US of Ed, on iTunes and Wooshka, and updates on Facebook and Twitter. At 9 p.m. Tuesday night was Trump's presidential address on the southern border crisis. Another pitch for the wall. Ed, first thoughts?
Well, actually delivered it pretty well. He made a few mistakes. He stayed away from making the giant errors. He just exaggerated, like the man that was killed. He could have been killed by anybody. The fact that the guy was a legal immigrant. What about all the white guys that have killed people? We're not throwing them out of the country. So it was not badly delivered, but it had no passion. No one could get up and run out the door and say, oh boy, I see the wall, I want it now. And I think the problem he has is when he delivers something with passion, it's in front of a crowd. There was no crowd there. So he couldn't deliver this with passion. And he didn't even seem to want it. It's just, well, the Democrats are holding me up. And he couldn't even articulate what it is he wanted. He talked about new surveillance technologies and this and that. The Democrats have been talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he want? He just wants $5 billion and an erector set so he can play games? What's he want? And the American people don't want a wall. Most of the people along the border don't want a wall. He and a few of his followers who operate radio shows, and let's not pan radio shows, some of them are pretty good.
It definitely gave me the impression, the speech gave me the impression this was one that had been run through the White House team. It wasn't the speech that Trump himself would have wanted to give, and indeed was probably a good thing because we thought he might be on the verge of declaring a national crisis, having the military step in.
That's right. That's right. As I said, he delivered it pretty well. But he said some things that really tick people off, particularly me, when he said these illegal immigrants are stealing jobs from American people, particularly some people of color and Hispanics. Said, wait a minute. You mean all those jobs raking leaves and cutting lawns and making beds are the jobs for us people of color? Is that the inference I should draw from that? And if we want those jobs, I suspect we could have them. Please, Mr. President, we would like your job.
Certainly have them maybe at one of the Trump golf courses. Look, he made a lot of claims. He's making a lot of claims of late, and he made a few, obviously, blatantly false claims in this speech. The one that's been cropping up has been the one defended by Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that 4,000 terrorists have been apprehended on the...
You mean four?
Yeah, it's a little slightly smaller number than 4,000, I believe.
Yeah, four in Canada and two in Mexico.
Yeah. You do have to give him some credit, though. Let's give him some credit. Some pundits, I think, they're splitting hairs when they talk about some of the false claims. There are some genuine concerns in there, the concerns about drugs, the concerns about bad hombres in the coyote business.
All right, okay. Mm. But he said the pharmaceuticals.
Mm.
What pharmaceutical companies in Mexico? I think most of them are in New Jersey, where he has his golf course. Americans are on opiates. Opiates are not done in Colombia. I don't know any in Colombia. And then he mentioned heroin. Heroin is not a drug of choice. Not yet, anyway. It may come back. But cocaine is still the drug of choice. And the bigger drug of choice are the drugs that are manufactured in people's backyards, and marijuana. So the drug trade is not a good business anymore. It's, in fact, going down in terms of imports. As a matter of fact, it's so bad, American drug dealers are trying to export to Mexico. So things are not good, and you can tell things are pretty bad here when Australians are caught in other countries taking drugs to the countries that make the drugs. So this is not the kind of business you want to be in. Let's give him credit for one thing that I think is important here, and he should have mentioned it, criminal justice reform. Criminal justice reform will let a lot of people who've been caught one time with a little bit of cocaine escape going to prison. And a lot of people who are in prison, some for many years, will be released. It'll focus a lot more on rehabilitation and all the kinds of things you want. Now, he may have done that thinking there may be some possibility that he and his family may need some of those opportunities to be rehabilitated post his presidency. But that's one good thing. You know, he has not talked about that. And that is one very good thing that he helped push through.
On the flip side of that one we just mentioned a moment ago, he hasn't declared a national crisis yet. He has maintained he has the absolute right to declare a national crisis.
Yes, he does.
Forward.
He has an absolute right to do it. And any judge who's been to law school has the absolute right to say it's illegal. And that's exactly what the judge would do. And by the time it got to the Supreme Court, he'd be out of office. There's no emergency here, so there's no reason to push this up to the Supreme Court. And all these things are raised in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is just to the left of Bernie Sanders. So the chances of getting things through the Ninth Circuit are 0 to 0 to 0. And the appellate courts above that, not likely. And if it goes to the D.C. appellate court, totally unlikely. So what is he talking about?
Following the speech as well, the Democrats' response to Trump, and I found this really interesting, across seven networks, it was shown, got a higher rating than Trump's address, which I doesn't prove. And somewhat to my surprise, people are very, very concerned about what the Democrats are doing in response to Trump. I mean, it's one thing to tune in for a presidential address as a historic moment, but to me, showing higher ratings on the Democrats' response showed that this was a piece of theatre from Trump that, nonetheless, people are very, very concerned
what's
being done.
Well, it backfired, if that's the case. And I thought both Pelosi and Schumer did a good job of stating what they've already stated. Mm-hmm. They didn't go out on a limb anywhere. They didn't call him a liar or a buffoon or anything like this. They just stated the case to say, we know from empirical research that a wall by itself does not work. We're willing to work with the president on measures, but a number is not a measure. $5 billion is not a measure. Tell us what you want to do, and we will deliberate that. But off the budget, we'll pass the budget bill. So starting today, every single day, another department's budget is being passed and sent to the Senate, including Homeland Security and FEMA and all these others. Some senators are going to say, oh, my God, like the Department of Interior. Do you think Romney, with the Department of Interior, operates 70 or 80% of the land of the state, is going to say no? Because every day you're not operating that national park, you're creating a fire danger. Animals are not being taken care of in the way they should, which makes them more dangerous because then they start wandering onto farmers' lands and things like this. So you're creating a new catastrophe. The next catastrophe is going to be the aircraft line controllers, aircraft controllers, and the TSA. The TSA is already starting to do sick outs. And if the controllers go out, that's going to, right at the beginning of the year, which is a very bad time to do this, that's going to be an awful, awful mess. Now, what he'll say is the Democrats made this happen. But people know, because he himself said he's doing this for his project. Have you heard any Republicans saying that the nation needs a wall?
It seems a few of them have been keeping quiet for quite a long time.
But nobody's stepped out and said, hey, the wall's so important to me.
Mm.
Now, wouldn't you think a Texas or an Arizona senator would step out and say we need a wall? Uh-uh.
Don't think that's going to play well in Texas.
So and it's pretty hard to put a wall in the middle of the Rio Grande.
Yet the master negotiator, the art of the deal, Major Domo Trump, he's met with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer since, and the conversation apparently went that Trump asked if they were going to pay for the wall, if they were going to give him his wall. Pelosi said no. Trump immediately stormed out again. I mean, this is negotiation at its finest.
My granddaughter, who's 3 years old, did that with me. I said, no, you cannot have any more candy. And she stormed out of the room. So I maybe there is something about the level of mental effort in the White House now. Storming out of the room gets you nothing. And it makes you look petulant. It makes you look small. He doesn't have any proposals to offer. That's what it says. My way or the highway. I guess we're going to see whether the Republicans in the Senate are going to hold out, because the House is going to cave pretty soon.
Indeed, a few House Republicans already voting on some of those spending bills you mentioned. It actually brings me to a rather interesting point. When we talk about this kind of negotiation, Democrats have been playing well so far in terms of the polls. The American people are going, well, this is Trump said he was going to take responsibility for the shutdown. This is the Trump shutdown. And Democrats are keeping their hands relatively clean. But, you know, if a child says, give me some candy or I'm going to hold my breath until I pass out, after a certain point you go, well, the child's clearly not wrong, but the adults have to step in and do something. It's a simplification, but are the American people going to say, well, the Democrats, the grown-ups in the room need to do something and they need to step in?
Yeah, this is one of the things that's been bothering me. And I think, and Nancy did a very smart thing in her speech. She said, basically, and very sotto voce, if you give us DACA, and she used the term DACA, she didn't say the full name of the act for the young people who are in the United States, and because of their parents, they don't have citizenship. So she knew what she was doing. That was not so subtle a message, saying, we're willing to surrender if you give us something we want. Now, this is what happens when the child comes over and gives you a kiss on the cheek. Well, maybe that candy will be forthcoming.
There are tons on tons, unfortunately, of Americans, of programs that are being hurt by this shutdown. We can't name them all, and it hasn't given us much time to talk about anything else this week, but it has been the first week we've seen Democrats in control of the House. This has really overshadowed anything coming out of that one, but have we seen anything interesting?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One of them is the cult of personality is already arising. Ocasio is getting a lot of attention. The Native Americans are getting attention. So this cult of personality may hurt the Democrats in that people, when they get a lot of attention, think they're smarter than they are. And it seems like Ocasio is beginning to drink her own Kool-Aid. This is one for Nancy to watch, and she needs to get some other adults to assist her so these people don't go off the ranch. And was the representative of Wisconsin, we'll get that MFR.
Mm.
That kind of childish behavior can happen when you have a big majority and they don't have anything to do. They've got their own sandbox, and they'll start throwing sand at one another if she's not careful. So I really hope this ends soon, and I'd like to see the Democrats get something that they want. And I think an immigration bill is a thing that the American people would be behind, and Trump would be behind the eight ball if he didn't give it. So I think that's where the gift's going to come from.
Another resignation this week. Pentagon Chief of Staff Kevin Sweeney has stepped out of the role, not as sensationally as Jim Mattis, but some have linked the two. Any thoughts on this one?
Well, Sweeney had to step out of the role because he had to make room for someone else. That's a job that traditionally doesn't get passed on. And so Sweeney's departure, the announcement of his departure, is the thing that's news. Because he had to leave. You don't serve the next secretary. So the assistant secretaries don't serve the next secretary. But the fact that he was good at his job, he knew what he was doing, had the right background to do it, is worrisome for the American people. Not that he left. He was on point with his former boss. Now, his boss won. Syria is back on the table.
And just briefly, because I know you've had some experience in, well, exactly this kind of thing, Trump has apparently ordered FEMA to stop sending money to help with recovery after California's devastating fires, tweeting, billions of dollars are being sent to the state of California for forest fires that, with proper forest management, would never happen. Unless they get their act together, which is unlikely, I have ordered FEMA to send no more money. It is a disgraceful situation in lives and money, to which California Governor Gavin Newsom has accused Trump of playing politics with lives.
Well, Gavin, I'll just straighten him out. First, the state of California doesn't have that many forests. It may be some of the fires originated in California forests, but it's the federal government that owns and maintains the forest. I grew up in California, and every school kid knows that. Secondly, the next largest group of forests are owned by the private sector, Weyerhaeuser and people like that. So forest management is not the state alone. So the state has a lot of policies and programs and the like, and California is known to be a leader in these areas. Lastly, FEMA money is appropriated by Congress. The president has no authority to stop it. And if he attempts to do that, those judges I talked about a few minutes ago start in California. And there's no sympathy in FEMA. That just makes FEMA look bad. And FEMA looks bad enough without that kind of thing. As you said, I have experience with FEMA, and FEMA is a weak, feeble, rudderless organization. They don't need this kind of shenanigan. And by the way, there's a place called Puerto Rico where FEMA is still in the stench. Don't mess with California.
U.S. of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in U.S. news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.